Well, before we pray tonight, let's look into the scripture. I'd like us to look into the Gospel of Matthew. The 11th chapter is our place. Matthew chapter 11. It's a familiar place. We'll read these first six verses there and hope to make some useful comments after that. In Matthew 11, verse 1, we find that it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, Luke records that something tremendous happens here. But verse 2, when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now this last sentence is no less important to John. It says this, "And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." Now, the works that we had reference to when John heard of the works of Christ, as Luke puts this for us in his gospel, that follows right on the heels of the Lord raising the widow's son. Remember, he meets the funeral entourage coming out of Nain. He stops it. He says to the woman, "Don't weep." And you could just almost, just the sense of what's going on gripping the congregation there, if that's the best word for it. Touching the dead man, and up he rises. And then Luke goes straight from that into this story here. And hearing about such things, and this included, John then sends his question. And Matthew, the reason we read this from Matthew is that we find him, it specifically says that John is in prison at this point. Now, think for just a moment. You've been sent before the Lord as the forerunner. I mean, it's as clear as anything can be that God has his hand on you. He's got his hand on you for a purpose. He has spoken to you. You have seen the heavens opened. You have seen the one that you thought was the Christ of God. You've witnessed his ministry take off. You have said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And you've rejoiced in that because you're the friend of the bridegroom. Yet, things don't turn out for John like you might expect. Some meteoric rise, is that the way to say it? Some Saturn V booster going off and you think, oh, here we go on our way to Mars. And it's just, it doesn't go the way you think. And then you find yourself in prison and you hear bits and snatches and pieces of his ministry and parts of it sound incredible. And other parts of it you wonder about. We thought would be the kind of thing that John would reason. We thought, we prayed, we looked, we hoped, we expected. The prophet said, and he's thinking about the kingdom of God coming. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's just right here. Jesus takes up the same message. Now, Jewish expectation, you know what it was. We've talked about it many a time here. And it's just that, hallelujah, at last, here we go. And Rome is off our back, and we are who we are, and God's going to bless us, and we're going to... And here it comes, the great day, the great day. Now, if you're John, if you're anybody, if you're one of the waiters, one of the lookers, one of the watchers, one of the hopers, we meet some, you know, in the Gospel of Luke. They're there at the temple. And they rejoice to see Jesus brought in. They know. They're those waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. If you're a waiter, a watcher, a looker, a hoper, and then you see the establishment turning against the Lord Jesus, and you see, at least to that extent, his ministry becoming ineffectual, or not as dramatic as you'd hoped. And then he fools you from time to time. He'll raise a dead person. And then he'll confound their smart aleck questions. And he'll do things that you think, well, Maybe, but then it's not going the way you thought that it would go. Can you write the word disappointment over all that? You thought one thing, something else happened. To that degree that you thought something, you're a little bit let down when that something doesn't happen. Everybody's familiar with this. You know, I really thought I was going to do better on that test. And the teacher hands it back and it's a C minus and I'm disappointed. And I know my dad's going to be disappointed, so I'm doubly disappointed. And a little tinge of, a little concerned about going home. We all know what disappointment is, and it takes greater forms over greater things. You know, life not turning out like we thought that it would. We don't get the promotion. We don't get this. We don't get that. In our case, and the reason I'm sharing all of this is to work through this, hopefully with us all, we didn't sell a guitar at our show. We labored and worked, and you guys had prayed, and we had prayed, and it's going to be the best show we've been to, and we get there, and we sit. It's hard standing up on your feet all day long and glad-handing people and saying, here, play this. And then they play, and they say, man, that's great, and they put it back, and they keep going. And this goes on over and over again until the closing bell comes, and you still got all your wares in front of you, and nothing's moved. Are you disappointed? Well, we were. We were disappointed a bit. And I know, and I was concerned about all my friends back home that were praying for us and saying, oh, God, help them, bless them, encourage them. Make it move. We get a note today. We got a phone call. And a guy said, hey, how'd a show go, Steve? He said, lives up in Dallas. And I said, it was a good show. Did you sell it all? I said, we sold nothing. You could just hear this deflation like a tire losing its air. And his little vehicle's going down. He said, well, I guess you need someone better praying for you. I said, no, you need to pray for someone better. Now, I think we want to look at this in the light of these events and far more serious events that will grip our lives from time to time, and we have to deal with these things. And I think that we'll find ourselves in small things, in medium things, and in big things in John's prison cell with him. And the Lord will be saying to us, you know, you'll be blessed, which means what? You'll be happy. You'll be happy if you do not stumble over me. If you're not taking offense at my dealings with you. And of all the great men in Israel, why is the greatest outside of Jesus himself, why is the greatest in prison? And you've got men like Barabbas, who we'll see was a murderer, that they let him loose there on the day of Calvary. We see men like the two thieves on either side, and they're running free, at least the time. John's in prison. Doubting Thomas is running free. Vacillating Peter is running free. John the Baptist is in prison. Why is God doing this? Why this? Why this strange, mysterious design? Well, for our instance, I want to just read to you what James says, and it's as clear can be. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city. We'll spend a year there and engage in business, and we're going to make a profit. Yeah. Yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say what? You know? If the Lord wills, we shall live. All right? He's granted that. But then, if the Lord wills, we'll also do this or that. The point, the clear point that James makes is it's the will of God that we're concerned with. And it's the will of God that, I hate to put it this way, but we're up against it. And I put it this way because sometimes people think that the will of God is just neutral, that we can move his hand about any way that we please with enough faith or enough prayer or enough intercession. We get enough people on our sides and we'll storm heaven's gates and we'll plead along a certain line and it'll work out just like we want. And to some extent, we may all have different shades or degrees of that thought in us. And God bless everyone for praying, because the Lord says, well, you don't have because you don't ask. And then he goes on to say, well, and you don't receive because you ask amiss. But it's an intricate thing about the will of God working with the will of man, isn't it? Let me put it this way, the will of man working with the will of God. Dear old brother Matthew says, if the two don't blend together, you've got a stalemate. One thing I'm convinced of is that God's will must be done, and it will be done. And he has a plan, and I have a purpose. It is so far beyond our thinking and reasoning. We project out 3 steps about what we would like to happen. I would love to sell this instrument and that one and that one. And then we could just take a week off and just relax and kick up our heels because we don't have trust God anymore because the bank account's full. Right? Is this making any sense? And the Lord says, not so fast, young man. I love it when he calls me young man, by the way. God's will. God's will. And yes, he can be besought. Yes, he can be entreated. But still, he has a will. And I'm not going to call my friend up in Dallas and say, you didn't pray the right thing. And I'm not going to say to myself, I went up there armed and it should have happened, but it didn't. There must be something wrong with me. Because God was just waiting to bless, but there's something wrong in me hindering. We're making man too big. We're making man's thoughts too big and our thoughts of God at the same time far too small. Oh, if we just had 5 more people pray here at the mission, and if I'd called 10 more people of my friends scattered around the world, oh, you know how we think? Isn't that how we think? The will of God. If God wills, we will do this or that. And thank God, if God wills, we will live. And so we took off, we landed, we took off, we landed. We drove, we arrived. Here we are. God willed it. The will of God is not a bad thing. Anyway, so that was the first point. The second point is the wisdom. Now, if Israel had received exactly what they wanted and expected and were praying for, a kingdom on the earth, a reign of a princely Messiah who would just smash his adversaries before him, what would world history be like after that? Would it have been as good as what we know now? I mean, for you. Rephrase that question, would you? Yes, I will. Is not the fact that Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father over all things, death included, over all principality, over all power, and reigns there with omnipotence and authority that is unbreakable, unchallengeable, unconquerable, is that not better? Is it not better that he's opened up a door of grace, that he has established a spiritual kingdom where he comes in to reside as king and priest in our hearts, and he gathers to himself a spiritual body and builds a living spiritual tabernacle where he might dwell by the Spirit? Is that not better? And the grace of God finding you out here in Nacogdoches and not bypassing you because you're not over there halfway around the world in Israel. I just say, hallelujah, God did what he did and the way that he did it. And he just defied all expectation except perhaps by the most farsighted. And he did what he did and he gave what he gave. And the wisdom there, oh, it's far better, his gift, right? This led me, it reminded me of a poem by Edith Lillian Young, Disappointment. His appointment, you remember that? Let me read this to you. It will go pretty quick. Disappointment, his appointment, change one letter. And then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning open to his wisdom lies. Pause. I said, we see three steps. He sees to the end, doesn't he? And he's working everything together. Disappointment, his appointment. Whose? The Lord who loves me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts, unquestioned, all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment, no good thing will he withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of his love untold. Well he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan in thy molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine. Sweet little poem, isn't it? And I like the fact that she says, he knows that each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. And let's add this one thought, he's merciful too. When he has to cross us, or when things don't turn out quite like we thought, and we find ourselves a little heavy-hearted and a little dashed, or maybe very heavy-hearted and extremely dashed, he is still merciful in all that. We looked up 1 Corinthians 10:13, which you know what it says, don't you? He'll open a door. He'll enable you to go through whatever it is. He'll make a door of escape through any trial and tribulation. He knows what you can bear and will give you no more. And before the meeting started, dear Sister Sharon says, yeah, and you had two orders right before you left. And I thought, is that not like God? These came in out of the blue. Absolutely. Well, prayed for, so. Trusting God, he'll send something. There's a raven coming somewhere with some bread and some meat. And here they came, two of them, just like that. And so we armed, went to this little show with, I don't know how to put this, but confidence in God that he, out of thin air, can minister to the needs of his people and help his own. And so all the way through all this, when people just walk by, they'd say the most wonderful, encouraging things. And I take it as God just sort of tapping us on the shoulder and say, if it doesn't sell, I've still helped you. I've blessed you. And I'm encouraging you. And forgive all of this very personal reference to our past week end, but see if you can apply it to your own situation, your own disappointments, your own heartaches, your own negations when the Lord doesn't do exactly as you've asked. Something good's coming out of it. All right, let's pray.